Hello, listeners. Welcome to the Essentials of Healthy Living on Progressive Talk AM 1260, sponsored by the Village Green Apothecary. I'm Dana Lake, your host for the next hour, reminding you to tune in every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. My co-host, Kevin Passaro, and I will be alternating shows dedicated to your health, diet, nutrition, lifestyle, and exercise. So this is a show about you. And the show is also streamed through myvillagegreen.com. That's myvillagegreen.com. Now, topics for the day. We're going to talk about vitamin D benefits. We talk about that a lot, but we have some new news. And fish consumption and protecting against vision loss, very important. Also, MSG, an increase in overweight, a big surprise. And energy boosters if we have time. We will also have a guest for most of our show, Deanna Minich, and she is going to call in and talk to us about bone health. And this is important. It's not just important for women. It's important for men. It's important for adolescents. So we'll cover bone health today. Now, let's get down to looking at vitamin D. And we've talked about this a lot. And we get it from the sun. You have to get exposed to the sun to make vitamin D. You turn cholesterol into vitamin D. And if you're in the sun about 30 minutes, you make about 10,000 IUs of vitamin D. The supplement recommendations, oddly, used to be about 400 to 800 IUs a day, and that's now woefully low. The new standards are much higher. In fact, the old toxic levels are now the new optimum levels. So somewhere around 1,500 to 2,000 or 3,000 a day for adults, and children 400 to 800, but many, many children, especially those with developmental delays, have much higher needs for vitamin D, and this is monitored by a simple blood test. And that blood test is called 25-hydroxyvitamin D3. Now, a recent study on 93,676 postmenopausal women, that's a huge study, just comparing vitamin D status and 400 women who had suffered a hip fracture. They compared those with 400 women of the same age and background who had not suffered a hip fracture. The result was that women with the lowest vitamin D blood concentrations were 71% more susceptible to fracture. Now, we've always known that D has an important effect in bone, but this is pretty dramatic, 71% higher susceptibility. And it's not enough to just take the vitamin D. If you have D receptor defects, your needs are exponentially higher. And when you get that test done, 25-hydroxyvitamin D, you look for levels that are 60 to 100. It used to be 20 to 100, then it was 40 to 100, and 60 to 100 with 80 being optimum is the new ideal. Now, what about eating fish? It reduces the risk for vision loss, and how can this be? And if you've been listening to the show, you probably already know a little bit about that. And this was a study looking at age-related macular degeneration called AMD, particularly the most damaging form, which is termed wet AMD. And this is very common. It's the leading cause of vision loss in people over age 60. So this was a European study, and they looked at 2,276 people ages 65 and older. They found that those who ate oily fish high in omega-3 fatty acids at least once a week, which is not a lot, but at least once a week, were 50% less likely to have the wet AMD than those who ate fish less than once a week. Now, those with the highest intake, 300 milligrams a day and above, of the omega-3 fatty acids, especially DHA and EPA, were 70% less likely to have wet AMD than those who had the lowest intake. So if you eat fish once a week and they're the oily fish like salmon and herring, mackerel can also be quite rich. Sardines are the safest and the best because they're small fish. They don't accumulate a lot of toxins. So sardines are absolutely the best. But those are the fish that protect you. And the real recommendation with my patients is about 1,000 to 1,500 to 2,000 a day. That's milligrams a day of the omega-3 fatty acids. And when you purchase omega-3 fatty acids, make sure you purchase those that have had the toxins removed but without solvents. And they brag about that on the label. So check your label. Nordic Naturals, Carlson's, Zymogen, Metagenics, Village Green. They have a fabulous Omega Pure. And they have a whole line of omega fatty acids. So contact myvillagegreen.com. 530-0800 is their telephone number. And you can get some omega-3s. And back to the D, just to tie it in, the old cod liver oil had omega-3s, vitamin D, and vitamin A. And that was always accomplished in the winters. Children were put on cod liver oil through the winter because in the summer they got in the sun, but now our kids get in the sun with sunscreens and hats. So a little bit of sun short of redness. Now, what's this about something else causing overweight that really has no calories? MSG increases the risk for being overweight. And in 752 healthy Chinese men and women from age 40 to 59, they looked at the relationship between MSG, which is a flavor enhancer, and weight. And the result was, in the top third of the MSG consumers, there were 2.1 times more likely to be overweight than those who did not use MSG, even though their calorie intake and physical activity were equal. Now, there's several opinions as to why this happens. I can tell you that MSG is a flavor enhancer, but it's indirect. It alters the brain's perception of flavor, and it affects negatively the hypothalamus, which is the portion of the brain that requires metabolism, that regulates metabolism. And so when people avoid MSG, they avoid that damage. I have always recommended against MSG, and I also tell people how to find it because it's not always labeled. It is not required right now in the United States that MSG has to be on the label, and most people are surprised because if they use calcium caseinate or sodium caseinate or autolyzed yeast or hydrolyzed protein, that has MSG in it. So they do not have to label that it contains MSG. We've been lobbying for 40 years to try to get this changed. Hopefully it will, because there are many people who have negative reactions. Now, are you tired? Do you want to boost your energy? Some sort of a summary of some of the things that we talk about all the time. Glucose control, good protein intake, avoiding refined carbohydrates, exercise, good sleep. Sleep's a nutrient. And then when we get to the nutrients, CoQ10, that generates ATP, body energy, body electricity. It is a wonderful supplement to take. Now, obviously, you can't boost your CoQ10 beyond human reason. We're not going to make Wonder Woman and Superman out of people taking CoQ10. But it's very responsible to take. It protects the heart. It keeps lipids healthy and happy. It's an antioxidant. B-complex vitamins, they fire the energy pathways, especially the citric acid cycle. They make it work. They're important for neurotransmitters. And then 5-hydroxytryptophan, which is the precursor to serotonin, and it stabilizes mood. St. John's wort can also do the same. And S-adenosyl methionine, what's called SAMe, and that supports good production of serotonin, dopamine, and other neurotransmitters. B12, critical, keeps the brain healthy, and we talked about low B12 being associated with shrinkage of the brain. That was an interesting study we covered last month. And then the omega-3 fish oils and vitamin D. It's good for the brain, good for mood, good for preventing cancer. So we've given you some ideas, boost your energy. I hope you've gotten a few pearls today that you can start using right now. I want to remind you that you're listening to The Essentials of Healthy Living on Progressive Talk AM 1260, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. I'm Dana Lake. Stay with us. We will be back talking with Deanna Minich about bone health. Hello, welcome back, listeners, to the Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. I'm Dana Lake, your host for the next hour, and I am delighted to introduce Deanna Minnick, and she's with Metagenics, and she's going to give us quite a few pearls for all of you so that you can take home something that improves bone health. So bone health is our subject. Welcome to the show, Deanna.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm glad you're here. And first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do with Metagenics.
Sure. I am a PhD clinical nutritionist, and I work at the Functional Medicine Research Center, which is situated on the research campus of Metagenics in Gig Harbor, Washington. So I don't know if many people realize the fact that Metagenics does have a functional medicine clinic where we can do clinical trials and various testing on our supplements and natural products. So I work there in the clinic, and I'm also the director of information, integration, and innovation. And essentially, that's about looking for new products and kind of doing the medical writing for Metagenics and overseeing that department.
Well, that's exciting. I like that title, Director of Information, Integration, and Innovation.
We call it the I-cubed.
I like
that. That's what we say for short.
It sounds like a Jeff Bland idea, actually. I love the name.
And you're absolutely right. It was a Jeff Bland idea.
I've known the man for 35 years. I call him my favorite polysyllabic man. He makes the English language sing. And as he teaches biochemistry and nutrition.
Oh, yeah.
Terrific.
He just strings it all together and makes sense of it.
And simply, I mean, he includes the complex, but he boils it down to simple. So
yes.
I know that Metagenics and Dr. Bland have done wonderful, wonderful work. So tell me a little bit. Let's start in on bone health and give some basic background and give our readers and listeners some pearls.
Sure. Well, the first thing I want to mention is that I think throughout the past decades, practitioners and even consumers have looked at bone in more or less one dimension, and that is how much calcium can we stick onto our bones? And so there's this whole concept of mineralization. Right, so taking calcium, which is good, we definitely do need to make our bones hard to mineralize them. And actually, Metagenics has a number of different products to do that. We use microcrystalline hydroxyapatite concentrate, which is essentially bone food. It's a bone matrix food for the bone. And so that's definitely something we advocate, and the literature is out there. But there's also a new concept that has just come up in the bone health world, I would say probably in the past 5 years, and that is looking at the whole idea of bone matrix quality. So bone matrix quality is a lot different than bone mineralization. Bone mineralization, when you think about it, it's about, again, how much of that mineral is in the bone, whereas bone matrix quality is about what is the underlying microarchitecture of the bone and what do we give the bone as a framework in order to pack calcium on. So that whole idea of bone matrix quality is tied to that of a concept called remodeling of the bone. And throughout our life cycle, the bone remodeling process is coupled, which means that the bone-forming cells are coupled to the bone breakdown cells, and there's kind of this harmonization that goes back and forth, and so the osteoblast is the bone-forming cell, the osteoclast is the bone breakdown cell, and essentially one signals to the other, and they kind of work together. But there is a certain point during the life cycle at which hormonally things go a little bit awry, and one couple uncouples from the other. So essentially what happens is the osteoclast, the bone breakdown cell, really takes over, kind of leaving the osteoblast behind. And this is due in part to the lack of estrogen that happens as we get older, especially for women. This is really not just a women's issue, but it is more so experienced in women because of the decline in estrogen postmenopausally. So as we go through and, our hormones start to go down, and maybe we even have a poor diet. You know, I always look at what are people eating and how does that set them up for good bone health throughout their life cycle.
Well, that's major, and I do want to cover it, but I wanted to ask you a little bit more about this interesting information because I think it's a new wrinkle that people haven't focused on.
Yes.
This difference between, we've always known that bone loss occurs when you're breaking down bone quicker than you're building it up.
Correct.
But what you've pointed out is that there are a number of factors that alter this ratio that have to do with both diet and hormones and certainly lifestyle. It also reminds me of the collagen peptide test that we do that measures these bone collagen peptides that occur in the urine with breakdown so that if they have too many, then we know we can't build up bone as well. So I think this is interesting, and let's talk a little bit more about the factors, including the diet, that do make the bone break down too rapidly and not build up.
Yes, and there are a number of factors that are within our control, for sure. And one of them, we just glossed over it, the diet aspect. I'd like to just speak a little bit about that. Because there are a number of scientific publications on net dietary acid load. So what that means is that when we get too much in the way of acid in the diet, so that could come from a lot of animal protein, it can come from a lot of dairy products, and not just the fact that we eat those foods, but that they're out of balance with the things that are more alkalizing. So, for example, green leafy vegetables, fruits, a variety of different vegetables. And so when that's out of balance, what happens is our body is so tightly wired in terms of the pH in the different compartments, and that it's very imperative to have a certain pH in the blood. It's a very narrow range. And so what ends up happening through digestion, if we're taking in too much of this acid, we have to draw upon our alkaline reserves, which is in our bone. Our bone has a bank account of base or alkalinity that we can draw from. So that's one thing for your listeners, is really to make sure that you get enough green leafy vegetables. We know that things like broccoli, for example, increase the pH of the urine. And they're also filled with vitamin K1 or phyloquinone.
Great for bone.
Yeah. Phyloquinone is needed to carboxylate a lot of the proteins that are in bone. And so if we don't have enough of that vitamin K1, then, you know, we're not able to really form a nice organic matrix of the bone. And again, that gets at the bone matrix quality, the underlying framework of the bone. So the first thing is really, see if you can clean up the diet, eat more vegetables. And I'm thinking somewhere in the neighborhood of 5 to 9 servings per day is usually recommended.
And that's certainly that's more than people are used to. But every time they redo the recommendations, I'm sure you observe it, Deanna, they increase them. And I always say, well, they were wrong then. So getting more of the green leafies is wonderful.
It is. And you know what's very interesting is that they've done a study comparing what people were consuming way back in 1988 versus what people were consuming at around 2000, the year 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think you're familiar with the National Cancer Institute that has that whole 5-a-day eating plan. Well, what they found is essentially that people are still consuming the same low amount of fruits and vegetables, that the message is really not being heard. And so roughly people are getting 1.5 servings of vegetables and 1 serving of fruit per day.
That's
so that's really
low.
What we've stayed at. And that's really, you know, such a minor amount compared to what we really need.
That's amazing, because I think that advertising has been very clear, very clear. So it surprises me that it hasn't grabbed on.
Yeah. And I don't know what it will take. You know, I think probably we need to make it more fun. You know, what I like to talk with people about is the color palette of vegetables.
Yes.
And each of the colors is connected to a function. So lutein, yellow, eye function. You were just talking about macular degeneration.
Yes.
If we don't get lutein, we're not going to nourish the eyes, for example. And it's very specific to the eye. And so, you know, I think maybe we have to start anchoring each of the phytochemicals in their function so that people can understand why they need to have lycopene or lutein or chlorophyll and what that does in the body. Sometimes we need to understand the intellectual reason in order for us to really absorb it.
You know, I think you make a good point. I think of the V8 ad, and it's not that I'm promoting V8, but they do a better job of educating than any of the public health messages. They say, they tell you you need 5 a day. They don't tell you you have to eat it. And in that short period of time, you've learned 5 a day vegetables. And I do think consuming natural vegetable juices is a great idea. If people can't, I think any kind, you know, the commercial ones, but I prefer the organic and the freshly juiced juices, or throw them in purees into soups. So there are lots of ways that we focus on and practice with our patients. I know you do the exact same thing, of getting them in the children's diets and not accepting that, well, 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds just don't eat vegetables.
Correct.
It's got to start then. What we're going to do is take a brief break, Deanna, and then when we come back, we'll do some more discussing of bone health. And listeners, you are tuned in to the Essentials of Healthy Living on Progressive AM 1260 and brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. I'm Dana Lake, your host. We will be right back after this brief break. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to the Essentials of Healthy Living this Saturday morning. We hope you're having a nice day, and I'm glad you tuned in. We're talking with Deanna Minnick of Metagenics, and we're talking about bone health. Deanna, could you go a little bit more into nutrition? And you did talk about the importance of calcium in the form microcrystalline hydroxyapatite. Could we explore a little bit more about the calciums, the differences, and how calcium alone is not enough?
That's right. Calcium alone, there are a number of studies showing that it does have benefit for increasing what we call peak bone mass. But calcium really works best when it's got some other factors with it. So, for example, vitamin D. And vitamin D is needed for proper calcium absorption in the body, and they really work in tandem. In fact, there was a study in 2008, or actually it was reported on by Rizzoli in 2008, and he reviewed the various studies on calcium and vitamin D, put them together, did a meta-analysis looking at a total of 53,000 patients, and what he found was that supplementation with vitamin D or with calcium alone was not significant enough to reduce the risk of hip fracture.
Interesting. Even the D.
Yes, that we really need them both together. Vitamin D and calcium had the best result in terms of reducing the risk of hip fracture. And together they're able to reduce hip fracture by 28%. At least that's kind of the sum of all of these studies put together.
Which is excellent. And then when you throw in magnesium and all the other nutrient cofactors, the percentage has to improve.
It has to improve. That's right. And just to speak very quickly to vitamin D, what we know is that vitamin D is also implicated in a number of different conditions, even outside of bone. I mean, vitamin D really acts like a hormone in the body. There are receptors for vitamin D throughout the body on cells. It does a lot for modulating our immune system, insulin secretion, overall mineral metabolism. And so it's really instrumental in kind of overseeing the hormonal effects on bone as well. So not only the calcium absorption, but the parathyroid hormone is really connected to vitamin D status.
Excellent.
So that's another thing. It's really to be sure if you're not getting enough vitamin D from the food, and most times we aren't, and if it's the winter, we're not getting a lot of sunlight, is to take a vitamin D supplement.
And that's been standard for a long time, and especially it depends on where you live. If you have the dark skin, you mm-hmm. really aren't going to get enough if you're living further away from the equator. If you have fair skin, then you can easily get that. And I think this is something that everybody seems to understand now. I'm seeing more and more patients coming in with having vitamin D testing as part of their doctor's routine tests, so I'm thrilled.
Oh, fabulous. And that is great. I think there's much more awareness about vitamin D now. And I think that even the intakes, the recommended intakes, are being looked at for certain population groups. So I'm glad that that's going to change.
Well, and as you said, it's not only bone. Vitamin D actually affects learning abilities and affects developmental abilities. Developmentally delayed people are very low in it, and it happens to be low in the autism community, extremely mm-hmm. low. So, and it also protects against cancers, including skin cancers, the oddity here.
That's right. Yeah, that's a very good point.
Well, let's talk some more about bone, and you've got so many little interesting tidbits. Go ahead, Deanna.
Sure. Well, another nutrient that's really important, and then I'll talk about a specific product that we have, but another nutrient that helps to quell some of the inflammation in the body, which can help with the bone tissue, is really omega-3 fatty acids.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sure your listeners know about the benefits of omega-3s. And what we know is that even deep at the bone cell level, the DHA and EPA, and even the DHA, oftentimes we hear just about EPA, but it's also DHA here, that it can, both of them together can reduce the inflammatory cytokine production close to the bone and really control a lot of the bone resorption or bone breakdown, bone loss.
And so that, you know, people don't often think of inflammation as being related to bone loss.
That's right.
So the fire that spreads all over the body has an effect even on the bone.
It sure does. And in fact, we're finding out more and more about the fire in the bone. And what I think is really interesting, and, you know, I really wasn't that acquainted with bone before really going deep since we had a product launch and really got a chance to go into the science. But inside the bone marrow, we have various stem cells. And there's one type of stem cell within the bone marrow called hematopoietic stem cell.
Mm-hmm.
And the hematopoietic stem cell can give rise to at least five different cell types. One of them, as you can imagine, is the red blood cell. Another one is the immune cell, the T cell. And then depending on what it's being stimulated by, it can also evolve into a macrophage or into an osteoclast. So you can imagine that if you have lots of inflammatory, what we call cytokines in the body, like interleukin-6, for example, that's going to stimulate the hematopoietic stem cell to differentiate into an osteoclast, into a bone breakdown cell. So right there in the core of the bone, in the bone marrow, already we are sending a message there to through the inflammatory cytokine to change the destiny of that stem cell.
So the cytokines, which can be released in all kinds of situations, including infections, prostatitis, gingivitis, periodontitis,
yes,
bladder infections, a lot of people are not aware of the increased risk. And so it's not only heart disease that's affected, because we talk a lot about that, but bone loss that's enhanced.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And another part of that connected to inflammation is that there's a connection with obesity and overweight and the fat tissue with the bone. So, in fact, there was a beautiful article from Dr. Clifford Rosen who talks about mechanisms of obesity and is osteoporosis the obesity of bone. And so in the back to that bone marrow, inside the bone marrow, there's another type of stem cell, the mesenchymal stem cell. And that mesenchymal stem cell can give rise to one of three cell types, depending, again, on what it's being acted on by. And that would be an osteoblast, a bone formation cell, and a cartilage cell, or, and here's the surprise, a fat cell. So you can actually form fat cells within your bone marrow.
That's fascinating.
Yes. And even our peripheral adipose tissue, you know, our fat in other places of our body, that's also sending signals to the bone to create potentially more fat cells. So we've got a matrix within the body. We've got a web in the body. It's not just the static tissue of bone. If, you know, you think about the skeleton on a hanger in anatomy class, you see it as a very static organ, but really there's an incredible amount happening in bone. It's very dynamic and tied to the whole web of our being.
Well, that is an interesting connection, and that's a new one. I am not familiar with it, that obesity has this osteoporosis connection.
Mm-hmm.
Yet we do know that obese people tend to have better bone because they're carrying more weight, and they also make estrogen from the fat cells. Do you have some more information on this kind of cycle and the things that are affected by it and that affect it?
The adipocyte, you're speaking
yes.
to kind of the differentiation?
Yes.
Well, it would be all the, think of all the, anything that affects the PPAR gamma system, anything that affects insulin signaling, for example.
Uh-huh.
So when insulin signaling goes awry, whether through messages that we're getting from food, things that we're thinking, maybe we're under a lot of stress, we're not getting enough activity in our lives, what happens is we start stimulating the wrong kind of kinases, which start speaking to our cells in a different way and start to proliferate the adipocytes within the bone marrow. So it's back to the basics of, you know, really, and that's why, you know, even if people are overweight, you know, it's not always that adipose tissue is inflamed. Sometimes we've got to have an influx of messages that come again, whether from diet, exercise, the way we live life. Eventually, that can create an infiltration of macrophages into that adipose tissue and kind of create this cascade, and then that becomes problematic. It's only when that fat is inflamed that it really becomes a problem.
Well, that does explain a lot about the connection. And again, I always like to go back to basics. Keep your weight in a normal, healthy BMI, exercise, eat the right
yes.
foods, drink water, get plenty of sleep. It's not too hard to figure out what's healthy. I had an aunt and uncle who both had different problems, diabetes he had, and she had overweight and heart disease. And she said, well, why are we on the same diet if we have different problems? And it was so hard for them to understand that concept that what promotes a healthy heart promotes healthy bones, promotes healthy
yes.
brain, the head bones connected, et cetera. So I want to carry on more on this conversation. So what we'll do, Deanna, is take a break here and then come back and finish up with whatever we have not discussed and sort of reemphasize the high points of what we have discussed. Folks, you're listening to The Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary, and I'm Dana Lake, your host for this Saturday morning. Please stay with us. We will be right back. Hello, welcome back, listeners, to The Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. I'm Dana Lake, and we are at the last segment of our show. I do want to remind you that Village Green has the experts, and you can visit, go in person, Cedar Lane in Bethesda, or you can go right on the website and ask the expert on the website. And the people in the apothecary, the Village Green Apothecary, they're happy to help you. They can help you put together a personalized supplementation program based on your age, your stage, your gender, and your health problems. So do that or go to the website. There's no reason not to get expert advice very easily. Now, we've been talking with Deanna Minnick, and those of you that were already tuned in know we're talking about bone health, and we've gotten lots of interesting information. We've talked about the balance between the bone buildup cells called osteoblasts and the bone breakdown cells called osteoclasts, and how hormonal, aging, diet can change the balance. And when we tilt to one side, that tipping point that's referred to so often, we're going to lose bone more rapidly. So, Deanna, what have we not covered that we really need to share with our listeners?
Yes. Well, what I wanted to mention to your listeners is that we were just talking about diet and exercise. And what we found, we just completed a clinical study, and we put all the results together to kind of make sense of what happened in the study. And what we found was that sometimes good, healthy diet and exercise alone may not be enough to kind of overcome all the inflammation, all the hormonal imbalance, all the metabolic changes that may be occurring with aging. And so we essentially did a study. We had two arms to this study, and in the first arm, we put them on the healthiest food plan that we know, which is our own Mediterranean-style, low-glycemic, low-weight of eating.
Mm-hmm.
And we also put them on an exercise program, 150 minutes per week. And then we had another arm, so we've got the two arms. The second arm had the same exact thing, the healthiest diet and exercise that we know of. We had them on that, and then we also put them on a product, which is now called Ostera. And the way we put Ostera together is we screened for various nutrients to see how they would impact the bone signals. So when we were talking about those, the bone marrow, all the signals that come in, what we were really interested in is how do we down-regulate inflammation in the bone to create healthy matrix. So we did all these studies and found the right combination of ingredients, and there are just four in here. And so we had these women on the program for 12 weeks. And at the end of the 12 weeks, we looked at various markers. And one of them, Dana, is the marker that you measured, that you talked about earlier, about the collagen peptide, the enteropeptide.
Yes.
We looked at that. We also looked at a marker of bone turnover, which is called osteocalcin.
Mm-hmm.
We looked at another kind of a peptide marker of bone formation called P1NP. And we also looked at insulin-like growth factor 1, because
mm-hmm.
IGF-1 actually stimulates the osteoblasts, or the bone-building cells. So what we found after the course of the 12 weeks, and much to our surprise, because, again, we had these women on an incredible diet and exercise program, but what we found is that the Ostera helped these women with their bone biomarkers even more. So we were able to really increase bone formation markers and really decrease the bone breakdown markers. And keep in mind, this supplement, Ostera, does not contain calcium. And these women did not have calcium throughout the duration of the trial. So it's very interesting to see the impact on the bone matrix markers using our product, Ostera, layered on top of a good food plan and exercise program.
And what are some of the components of the Ostera?
Sure. Well, the first one is a compound from hops. So hops is used to make beer. And just like wine and green tea and all the healthy beverages out there, what we're finding more and more is that very hoppy, kind of the dark beers contain a very a bittering agent, which is medicinal. And so
that's just
which could be a
funny
good thing for many people that like beer, right?
Yes. They're running out now to drink their healthy beer.
Well, the thing is, you'd have to drink many liters in order to get the dose of the hops material that we have in Ostera. So it may not be a good idea to be drinking all that beer. But the Ostera has what we call rho isoalpha acids, and those come from hops. It also has another plant compound called berberine. And berberine, it has been used in traditional medicine, and we found in our cell tests that it can inhibit the stimulation of the osteoclasts. So that's, again, the bone resorption marker.
Excellent.
It also has vitamin D, and we have already talked about vitamin D, and it also has vitamin K, vitamin K1, the phylloquinone. So with these four, we're really able to get a great impact on bone over just 12 weeks.
Now, that's impressive. That's a short period of time.
Yes. And these women that we tested, I didn't mention this, but they're postmenopausal, meaning that they're already compromised because already they're inflamed. They've got estrogen deficiency. These women didn't have good diets going in. And so we're able to really turn their situation and their bones around just after 12 weeks.
That is very interesting. Do you know if there are any studies that have actually looked at sleep and bone health as an independent factor?
That's a good question. I'm sure that there are. And sleep will really impact your cortisol levels and your hormone levels. And also at night is when your parathyroid hormone really starts to kind of go through its own balancing through the night. And so a lot of things happen while we're sleeping. So I can imagine that it would impact bone very much so.
Well, I know that we get increases for obesity. A lot of things happen when we don't have enough sleep. Immune cells change, and inflammation is certainly peripherally associated with the lack of sleep and the production of stress hormones. So I would think that it would have this effect on bone, but I don't personally know of any studies that have just looked at that factor.
Just looked at sleep alone. You know, that's a very good question. I would say that, you know, I'm sure somebody has done it, and I'm sure they have those studies on PubMed.
Well, this supplement Ostera certainly has an unusual combination, and here it's so effective, and as you said, it doesn't have the calcium, but then the Metagenics has the hydroxyapatite calcium and also with magnesium and D. So we get that nice combination.
Right. And the way we see it clinically, so the way we would use this in our clinic, the way we would give it to patients is really to give it to them throughout the whole life cycle, the CalAppetite product that we have, so that people are building and mineralizing their bone throughout their lifetime. But then as we become older and we start to experience what they call inflammaging, or the combination of inflammation and aging, which can be due to, again, estrogen deficiency and other things, that's when we can introduce Ostera and really make an impact on bone matrix quality.
Well, you've really given us a lot to think about, and I think there's information here that people can use and use it quickly. And I want to thank you, Deanna, for being with us and sharing Metagenics information. Again, we hope you'll come back to the show.
Oh, I'd love to. Thanks for having me, Dana.
Okay.
Thank you, listeners.
Well, that was interesting. And just to summarize, we're trying to do the balance between bone breakdown and bone buildup. It takes good diet. A lot of this is not new to you. And a more alkaline diet, which means we don't have a lot of acid-producing foods and that we stress the green leafy vegetables. That's just a shortcut to keeping your diet healthy. That we have good protein, but not excessive. That we have good fiber. And we cut down on the refined carbohydrates, keep insulin under control with a good glycemic diet. Exercise, stress reduction, decreasing inflammation, good sleep. And the nutrients we mentioned, like calcium, vitamin D, and a lot of vitamin D, over 1,500 IUs a day in general, sun exposure to get that vitamin D, magnesium, which helps with calcium utilization, is critical to bone health, omega-3s, the vitamin K, and boron, and silicon, and selenium, and even copper and zinc. So there are a lot of nutrients that play the role. And this interesting new supplement with Metagenics, the Ostera, which has hops and berberine, vitamin D, and vitamin K. Very important. So I think we've learned a lot about bone health. So get out there and walk, both aerobically and use weights and improve your hips and your spine. Just want to thank you for joining us, and remember to tune in every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for the Essentials of Healthy Living. And remember to take care of yourself and at least one other person and go green with Village Green. This is Dana Lake in Village Green, wishing each and every one of you good health and a really great day.